Hello, and welcome back to Malahi, a Dream S&P podcast. This is episode 68, and today we're discussing Awesome Dude's Bodies and Frog Gods. We're back!
Hello! It is us, Sweet and
Sam Lore.
Yes, we had Sam Lore and Boomer Lore, and I actually watched them.
And we're Time Lore.
Yes. Oh yeah, Phil's a lore technically too, huh? So if you couldn't guess, we're talking about the latest Sam Lore stream from the beginning of his subathon, and probably the egg finale some more, because that, you know, they tie together.
I believe it's up on YouTube, so if you haven't watched it, go watch it and then listen to this.
Yeah,
because we will be discussing spoilers.
It's on Sam's VOD channel. Don't try and watch it on Twitch because the sound got muted because I tried to do that first and then I was like, oh, wait, this is not working.
How did the sound get muted?
I don't know.
I don't know what's up with that.
Some kind of Twitch thing. Maybe the background music he was playing isn't DMC-free like he thought. But regardless, they put it up on YouTube and his VOD channel, so it's there. Definitely, you know, watch that before you listen to us. So, you know, go watch that. And then come back and then listen to us talk about it. But yeah, that was a long stream, or VOD, I should say. And I feel like it was because a good portion of it was just, like, everything that happened to Sam during the Egg Lore finale stream was just, like, in the middle there. They just sort of replayed it in case, you know, you missed it.
I know, I kind of do like the fact that they've been doing more recaps recently.
I like the recaps. It was just sort of annoying for me because I literally just watched the egg finale stream. And then it was just it wasn't even, like, different content. It was just exactly what happened specifically with Sam and Ponk and in that egg finale stream. Like, they even, like, included the recap from the recap. So I was just like, yeah, I'm just gonna skip this. And there was a lot of, like, travel scenes, and, like, sort of, like, random building scenes. Well, not random, but, like, building scenes with Boomer, where it was just music and then, like, him doing something with shaders on it. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not watching that. So I just sort of skipped through those sections, because I was not gonna sit there for an hour and however long so I could watch that. Mm-hmm.
So apparently Boomer is, like, psychic.
Yeah, well, I think we've heard a little bit.
Because, like, either he can see the future, or he can pick up on whatever vibes the egg is giving out.
Well, I think it's something to do with his hat, right? Which I think we learned about before. There's something up with his hat, where it talks to him, and it also, like, tells him things, I think. And so I'm guessing if he, you know, can see the future or see whatever, it's a result of having that hat.
Yeah, so apparently Boomer's, like, at least are the hashes, some kind of, like, frog god, and where he used to live, he'd, like, sit on a statue with the hat on.
Yeah, we know it's...
And, like, frogs would come and give him gifts.
We know it's, like, a magical...
Like, we are adding frog. We are adding those two frogs from the end of that stream to the list of canonical Dream S&P deities.
Oh god. Well, I know, like, okay, so the other thing is at the beginning of Sam's lore stream, they also did, like, a recap, I guess. They replayed some of earlier content of when Boomer met a swamp library Sam. And so they played that over again. And that was kind of when we heard a little bit more. There's something about the hat and whatever Sam did to clone himself, because that's what we learned. Sam clones himself. Those are what the other Sams are. There's something about the hat that can, like, track how he does it. And there's something about the way that he does it that has a similar energy or something to the frogs that gave Boomer his hat. And he thinks that they're his family, or they're connected to his family or something, and he's trying to find a way to find them and figure out where his parents are and what his family situation is. Which is the second time in the last two lore streams that we found a character who is trying to find their parents. Because Aaron, at the end of the egg lore finale, also was like, but bad, what if the egg can tell me where my parents are? And, yeah, that didn't turn out well for him. But yeah, so the hat's magic. We know that. The hat is magic. It can sense other things from the same kind of magic, I guess. And it can give Boomer visions and talk to him and tell him things, apparently. But you know, pretty cool. That's a good little thing.
So it's kind of interesting, I think, like this, what we found out about Samina kind of recontextualizes a lot about what we already knew about this character.
Yeah. I've seen people talking about it. It sounds like,
Although one thing that has confused me is the fact that, like, Phil said that Samina only had one body left. Sam had, like, at least two bodies.
When was...
Maybe three is, that's what Sam Nook is.
Was that when they were inside the facility?
That was, like, the swamp scene.
Oh, that was the swamp scene.
Yeah, that's where we see the other Sam body. But then in the scene where Phil's is talking to Sam in the tube, he says that he only has one body left. So maybe he just didn't know about the other one, or it was hidden in a swamp?
I mean, maybe? I don't... Well, we don't really have, like... I don't remember him saying that, to be fair, but... I know... At least my impression was that Phil talking to Sam while he's in the tube took place back when Sam first, like, put himself in there. Not in, like, current times. Like, it was something that happened...
Well, I'm pretty sure Phil also said, like, that he's, like, so attached to his current body that, like, if that dies, the Sam and the team might die.
Yeah.
That's
the
kind of assumed he was talking about, the Sam body that we know.
I think it was, see, that was the thing. I think it was the Sam body we know, but I don't think that scene with Philza is, like, present day. Like, it's not, you know... Right,
yeah,
by the time of, like, the egg lore that just happened, right? It's probably back towards when Sam either... when Phil either first joined the server or when Sam first started using that particular body. Because you're right, something to note is that
the location that the lab is in is canonically, like, years away from spawn.
Yeah.
So, my thinking is that this is, like, ancient. This is, like, closer to when it was first built.
Yeah, that was my thinking as well. I think it definitely, that conversation happened well before, you know, current Dream SMP lore. Or maybe even before, you know, the beginning of the Dream SMP necessarily. Because we don't know how long exactly Sam has been in that particular body. We just know it's been a while and that he got sort of attached to it. And apparently got so attached to it that he forgot that it was not his original body. And he seems to have sort of a spacey memory about, you know, what was going on before he, you know, joined that body or how long it's been. So we know, like, it's pretty heavily shown that it's been a long time since Sam first got the body that he was in prior to Ponk killing him during the Egg Lore, which resulted in him going back to his, as people are calling it, Sam Prime body. Which just makes me think of so many clone storylines.
It makes me think of Transformers.
Oh, what? Optimus Prime? Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. But I don't know, it was interesting with that, and then I've seen a lot of people pointing out, oh my gosh, I have to look it up, because a lot of people have talked about it, and they were well smarter than me when they were talking about it, so now I gotta, like, look it up. But I don't know, there was a lot of commentary, like a lot of good conversations specifically about sort of C-Sam's perspective on, like, his body and, like, bodily autonomy. Because people were looking back at his, like, conversation, specifically with Ponk, and how he kind of just seemed to expect Ponk to get over losing his arm and the death, because, and a lot of people were saying that Sam himself, because he's, you know, cloned himself bodies, and, you know, death isn't really a true reality for him, or hasn't been for a long time, that for him it isn't a big deal, right? Like, his soul, his who he is as a person is not tied to his physical body, whereas for everybody else it is, because, you know, they only have the one. But Sam has, you know, switched so much and been able to just sort of change into a new body. Like he says at the beginning of the stream, was like, if this body ever breaks down, I can just go to a new one. His, like, who he identifies as a person is no longer linked to his physical, you know, body, and how that has kind of played in with him and the way he treats other characters who are going through, like, physical distress. Like Ponk and taking his arm and thinking Ponk's just gonna get over it. And how when he's trapped in the egg, and his, trigger warning for cannibalism, and his flesh starts slopping off because of being in the egg, he just starts eating his own skin. Like, that's gross, first of all. But it makes sense why he would turn to that after, like, a day, and he sees his own skin falling off, and it's like, yeah, okay, Sam, perfectly normal to just eat yourself. When it's not, it's definitely not. But I think it works really well with this new knowledge of us being like, well, that's because for him, his physical body isn't really tied to who he is as a person, so he doesn't have that same level of, like, attachment and concern as we do for our own, like, physical protection and, like, sanctity of our body and having control over ourselves, which is also probably why he has such giant control issues and doesn't see it as a problem when, you know, he locks people in prison for months, or...
Okay, bring this up. There was also the thing the content creator Sam said during the subathon, which is...
The thing about...
That if character Sam had to choose between saving character Ponk and character Dream...
Yeah.
...from dying, he would choose character Dream.
Or, well... I mean, it wasn't... He didn't say it quite like that, but he did say basically that. He was like... Him, as a person, I think he said, is like, he wants to say Ponk, but he thinks the actual answer is probably Dream. Or something closer to that, where... But it was definitely like, oh, buddy. Which brings up another, you know, important aspect that we learned a little bit more about C-Sam. And that dude is obsessive. Like... People like to people talk about, like, Dream being obsessive over other characters, but Sam is a whole different level of obsessive. And I still can't quite get what, like, how that obsession has specifically sort of, like, latched onto character Dream compared to, like, anything else. Because we already know from that stream, actually, that, you know, it really wasn't actually a revive book thing, right? Because Sam has already found a way to keep himself and others, if he chose to, from dying, you know? He found this cloning thing, and obviously he's been using it to keep himself from dying for a long time. So, it's not really about the immortality thing, unless it's specifically just because he wants, you know, control, because he's kind of a control freak. But, like, why is he so obsessed and, like, latched on to specifically Dream? It's a very weird, like, relationship there, to the point where content creator Sam, like you said, thinks that if it was between saving Ponk, you know, the person that he was in a romantic relationship with and loved, versus Dream, the man he hates and locked in a jail cell for a year while he was tortured, he would pick Dream. Like, character Sam has so tightly wound his identity, not to his physical body, but to Dream's existence. And
Specifically Dream's existence as being, like, imprisoned.
Yeah, and it's so weird. Like, Sam, what the fuck? Like, there's something so dark about that in a way, and, like, I'm sure all the, like, Sea Awesome Dream shippers who are like, oh, yeah, this relationship is so fucked up. Yes, go for it, because I
That's
know...
That's the best thing about it.
I know so many, like, Awesome
Dream... Seriously, that's something I never get about, like, people who are weird about shipping, and they look at something and they go, like, how can you ship this? It's, like, so unhealthy. It's so
I think that's why they
that's
like
the best
it.
Bit. Like, this is why I barely ever liked, like, canon ships, because it was, like, boring.
I mean, I'm not really, like a shipper in general.
I don't do romance.
But, like, it's just that relationship.
I'm less of a shipper, more of a, like, the more interesting a relationship between two characters is, and, like, the potential it has to be like that, the more interested I will be.
It's just that relationship between those two is just so fucked up. And seems to never get better. And it's just, I don't know, it's a really interesting dynamic. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's like he's got, I don't know what's wrong with C-Sam, right? Like, I don't understand why he's like that. I can't explain what's wrong with him, but there's something wrong with him. And it's just not...
I mean, I think there's something wrong with every character.
Oh, there is, but there's something particularly fucked up about whatever he's got going on. He's like, he's such a control freak, for one, which, I mean, yeah, a lot of the characters have that issue. But, like, I don't know, man, it's just so weird. He's so weird. I need somebody who knows... Hold on, I need to go to the greatest resource of all, Tumblr. Analysis. And I need to see, what does anyone figure it out, whatever the hell is up with Sea Awesome Dude. I mean, yeah, it's the control, which I think that does, like, play a big part in it, specifically with his relationship to, like, Sea Dream, because I don't know, Sam wrapped up a lot of his, you know, mentality in specifically controlling Sea Dream and controlling the prison, who, I mean, from its very conception, Dream was a vital part of, because Dream's the one who asked for it to be created. Dream is the one who planned to, or Dream is the one who put Sam in charge of it, and then Dream is the one who was ultimately imprisoned in it for so long. And so, like, Dream is a very vital part of that sort of, like, fantasy of power and control and authority that Sam was given through the prison. But it's just really interesting and, like, almost confusing to try and figure out why he is so desperate to control. Because it's not, or to control everything, because it's not something that started with the creation of the prison. Because we saw it beforehand with some of, like, the Badlands plans. And specifically in this recent stream, we saw him from a very early age hundreds of years ago or whatever, when Phil met him, he wanted to control life and death. He wanted to control how people could live and survive for ages by defying death, by making these clones. Like, he wanted ultimate control over himself. And Dream has been one of, I don't know, maybe he sees Dream as, like, a symbol of that control and power, because Dream is one of the most powerful people on the server. I don't know, it's so weird.
I think Sam's character is, like, very much one driven by control and, like, the need for it. And it's part of what I mean by recontextualization, because, like, so, like, in the past, my view of him was, like, this is, like, a slowly building thing. Like, originally, he didn't have much issue with control, and then over time, it sort of grew.
Yeah.
But now I am thinking, based on what we know of his past, that this was always an issue, and what happened with Dream basically just washed it out.
Yeah, I agree with that, because, like I said, yeah, we've seen elements of that before, but it never seemed that extreme, or, like, it was, I don't know, Sam didn't play, like, a huge part in a lot of the lore back before the prison arc, because, I mean, he wasn't around a lot, he's a busy boy, but since he has, and from what little we saw during the parts where he did show up, he always had, like, a thing about, like, power and control, which, I mean, I can't even say I'm surprised. That's, like, half the server. But, like, don't know, it was never something that we had to pay attention to because he was always like a minor player at best. But then as soon as he became more heavily involved, dude has just shown to everybody around that he is the one, he has to be like in control of things. It's to him, it's almost like a vital part of his identity is to be the one who has that power. And it's kind of interesting to see how he acts post-prison, because obviously the prison is one of the things that gave him the most power he could possibly have. And it doesn't seem like he's tried necessarily anything to establish that power. Which, I mean, part of that is just we haven't gotten a lot of lore until now. But, like, post-prison, it's not like he, I don't know, tried a new scheme. Like, he didn't finish the bank. In fact, he didn't finish it so hard he blew it up. But, like, he hasn't, I don't know, for a character that obsessed with control and power, it's interesting to me that post-prison, he hasn't done anything to try and get that power back for him. He's tried to exert it over other people, because we even saw during the Egglore finale, like, he's the one who starts yelling at everybody and organizing things and saying, you're gonna come with me, you're gonna stay here, do as I say. He's, like, the first one to do that. And I don't know, even when he's, like, that confrontation with Ponk. And I don't know if this is just because of the way that the acting came across, or it's just my imagination, or if it was intentional. He, like, the way that his confrontation with Ponk goes is that he just seems very, like, he's not really offering up any actual power to Ponk. He's acting like he is. He's, like, he's apologizing. He's saying, please just don't hurt Fran. But he never sounds actually, like, scared or intimidated or like he's out of control. It seems like he's not, like, his apology doesn't come across as genuine, and I don't think it was, because I don't think it was a genuine apology, because, you know, but he, I don't know, he doesn't seem to try and, like, force himself to, like, he doesn't actually give up any power in the situation till the very end, because he's the one who inevitably gets one over on Ponk. So, like, but he never does anything to try and, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm repeating myself. But yeah, he doesn't do anything post-prison to try and reestablish himself as, like, a big, powerful figure. He, if anything, he just calls upon the fact that, like, hey, I'm still in charge of the prison, even though that's a lie. Sam is weird.
One thing I think is interesting, thinking, like, about the prison as, like, an expression of his need for control, because it is, like, an area in which he has that complete control, and we know that while he was running it, he very rarely actually left the prison. Like, he spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
And post-prison, he's been spending a lot of time basically building an artificial island.
Yeah, he did go into
so he's creating, like, another place that is, like, his, that he has maybe not full control of, but, like, a large amount of control over, because he has created, like, every single block of it.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. See, Sam's just such a, he's such a fascinating character, because he obviously has, like, something going on in that little brain of his, but it's not, it's so fucked up. It's just, like, I can't actually, like, I can't, like, with Dream, at least I can kind of process, like, the how he got to what he does and why he's doing it for the most part, even if it's in, like, retrospect, looking back at things he did in the past based off new information. Like, I can still kind of, like, I can understand where, like, his issues are stemming from and why he does certain things. With Sam, like, even though I know, because we got a little more insight into his character, that he's always been sort of a control freak, I still don't get, like, what the point of the control is for him, right? Like, with Dream, the point of the control is that he wants the server to go back to the way that he liked it. He wants the server to go back to the way it is. It's less about just, you know, power and control for the sake of it, and more power and control because he wants to reestablish a period where things were, I don't know, normal for him, or like the way that he thought it should be, right? That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Sam wants power and control, but I can't quite suss out like the why outside of just he wants power and control for the sake of power and control. I guess because he thinks he can help people, because that's something that's come up from him a couple times, being like, well, I'm helping
people.
Yeah,
I think an interesting thing I saw some point out is the whole thing, like, the village that he helped, and the fact that he kind of just, like, I can't remember the exact wording, but basically the implication is, like, he didn't help them because he thought that they needed help. He helped them because
he
wanted to be the one doing it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense?
I think so. I mean, it's something I think that's come up with him a couple times.
And that kind of goes along with a lot of stuff with the prison and him sort of putting all the responsibility on himself as the warden.
Yeah. It's almost like a weird hero complex where he's like, I have to be the one to... In a way, it's actually similar to Dream, who's like, I am the one who can put the server right. Like, I'm the only one who knows how it should be. So I'm going to be the one to do it.
This reminds me of, like, this thing that, like, where people say, like, character Tommy is a hero complex. No, he doesn't. He has a protagonist complex. But, like, there are other characters who have hero complexes.
Yeah, and I think Sam is kind of one of those. And maybe that's why he always, like, so firmly stuck to, regardless of what he did, the idea that, like, I did it for a good reason. I'm not a bad person. It was for a good cause with, like, and everything. Mm. Like, cutting Ponks on
I think there's a post going around on Tumblr recently that was, like, a rewrite of an old one that's basically quite some conversation between Sam and Quackity, where Sam is, like, trying to justify himself, and, like, Quackity is very obviously kind of like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, I know I'm doing evil stuff. Stop pretending we're not.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that. I don't remember
I think
where
that was,
scene was
if I remember
from.
It, I think that was... I think it was from the same stream where Purple UFO gets blown up, but I might be wrong on that.
I mean, it could be. I do remember, like, people... I at least remember seeing people talk about that conversation, even though I don't remember the conversation itself. But yeah, there was, like, a scene... And this kind of just shows, like, how deep his whole issue with... the idea of him being in the right comes from, because there is a scene with him and Quackity talking to each other, and Sam, the entire time he's talking about, like, what they've been doing, he's definitely, like, expressing it as if he and Quackity are the good guys, even though they're doing bad things. It's like, oh, well, it's all for, you know, the good of the server, blah, 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 it's for the best, like, we're not bad people just because we're doing bad things, it's for a good cause. And Quackity himself is like, nah, man, we're assholes, we're bad people, like, we're not the heroes here just because we're doing these things. And, like, I think that's an interesting dynamic, and I should actually go and find that scene and rewatch it, because I can only imagine it's kind of funny to have a character who's, like, so far in denial that they think that they're a hero where they're chopping people's arms off and imprisoning people and letting them be tortured for months. To have him working alongside a guy who's, like, very self-aware of the fact that, like, nah, I'm not a good person for doing this. I'm doing it because I want to. Like, Quackity, I don't think, is blinded by the fact that he's not doing things because he has to. He's doing it because he
I think what Quackity specifically is, or at least was, blind to is the impact his actions have on those around him.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think Quackity...
Like, he can see in, like, how he can, like, manipulate them, but he doesn't seem to think, like, in the long term of, like...
It's not irreparable.
Them realizing he was manipulating them.
Yeah, that kind of, like, he... That's the interesting between him and Sam. Like, Sam thinks that he's doing bad things, but he's like, well, I'm still a good person. I'm doing it for a good reason. Quackity is sort of, like... He doesn't think that he's, like, doing good things for a good reason, but he doesn't think the things that he's doing are gonna have, like, he's kind of also got, like, that sort of ends justify the means mindset, where it's like, yeah, the thing I'm doing is bad, and I'm a bad person for doing it, but at the end of the day, it's gonna improve my life and the life of my friends, because I think with, like, Las Nevadas, he genuinely thought that what, you know, what he was doing was going to improve his life and improve, you know, the life of the people he got to sign up for Los Nevados, because it's gonna, you know, make them rich and they're gonna have power. And so, like, I don't know, it was something built out of selfishness. Like, it wasn't like he was blind to, like, oh yes, this is for the good of the server. It was never about that, but it was definitely not him just being like, yeah, I'm just doing this for, you know, my own power, glory, money, legacy. He kind of, I don't know if he lied to himself, but he's like, everyone on my side is gonna come out better in the end, and it's only through, you know, being betrayed by Purple, and then being betrayed by Slime, and Slime's sort of, like, the reasons you suck speech is why he's like, oh.
I wonder if part of that is, like, sort of like expecting other people to think how he does.
Yeah, and that's definitely something.
Especially you go back to Manberg, there's very much this aspect of his character which is going through, and also a bit with like Neumann Manberg as well. There's very much this aspect of his character that is doing stuff that he might personally not want to do because of the fact that it gives him power.
Yeah. He definitely falls prone. And the thing is, he's actually kind of good at convincing other people of the way he thinks, even though the way he, like, for example, with Mexican Lemanberg, that little sort of conversation that he has with Dream in front of Sapnap and George, he, despite the fact that all of his arguments are complete utter bullshit and make no goddamn sense, he convinces, like, George and Sapnap that they're in the right. Or at least he preys enough on their emotions that they don't care if what he's saying actually makes sense. The emotion is there that they can agree with, and so they're gonna go along with it. But he definitely is, like, a character who definitely, or who genuinely seems to think that other people think the way he does. And you see that a lot with, specifically, when he's going around and recruiting people for Los Nevados, and the way that he talks to Foolish and Punk, or not Punk, Foolish and Purple, because the way that he talks to them, all he talks about is legacy. And the weird thing is, like, there's literally zero things in their lore up to that moment where they give a shit about their legacies, right? Like, Foolish, maybe a little bit because he's the guy out there in the desert making giant monuments, but Purple, there is nothing about Purple that should lead anyone to think that he cares about, like, the mark he makes on the server. And ultimately, that's true, because Purple doesn't care about his mark on the server. He cares about Quackity blowing up his UFO, and that's why he goes with him, because he's like, well, I want revenge on my shit. I want revenge for you blowing up my shit. Because, and it doesn't really make sense for his conversation with Foolish either, because there's nothing about the interactions he's had with either of those characters that should really, you know, make sense for them to actually, you know, join him. Because neither of them have really shown any care or consideration for, like, the legacy they're gonna leave on the world. Foolish, specifically, doesn't need to leave a legacy. He has a legacy. It's called the freaking Summer Home, which is one of the largest and most impressive builds on the entire server that literally everyone knows about. Like,
I'm pretty sure it's the bit largest.
I think it might, yeah, I think it might be the actual
unless
largest.
Sam's, like, island thing is, I don't know the size of that.
I don't know, but I also don't think that thing is finished yet. And it's not as, like, publicly well-known as, even in the lore, as, like, Foolish as Summer Home. Maybe in the future. But, alright, it's, there's no reason that Quackity's, you know, little lines and conversation should work on Foolish, but they do, which I have my own gripes with, because I hate the way that Quackity argues literally any time that man tries to get into an argument. I hate it because the logic he uses makes no goddamn sense.
I think we talked about this in a previous episode, but he uses, like, emotive arguments rather than logical
ones. Yeah, they logically make no freaking sense. But he's very good at getting the emotional core, which is why he does so good against, like, Dream when they're arguing about Mexican Lemanberg. Because everything that Dream is saying makes way more sense and is actually, you know, way more factual than anything Quackity says. But because Quackity is, like, peaking on those, like, really strong emotions that he has and that, like, George and Sapnap have, he technically sort of wins the argument in terms of, you know, even though that Mexican Lemanberg technically lost more than they won because they already kind of had it in the first place, it's not like an effective argument. But yeah, so, oh man, Quackity arguing with literally anyone makes me so angry. I hated his character for such a long time, specifically because he would get into these, like, argument conversations where he's trying to logically, like, or he's trying to convince somebody of something, and his arguments make so little sense.
So, do you want to finish up this episode?
Yeah, we can do that.
Question of the week and all?
Yeah. Last week we asked, what do we think, or what does everyone think that the egg will now be after it is hatched, or what it will do after it's hatched? Most of the question or answers from the Discord were along the lines of being gay and doing crime, dating Aunt Frost, being a menace, stealing Sea Dream's place as the local queer supervillain. That was actually all of the answers from the Discord. And I agree, and I think that's...
Date Skeppy.
Date Skeppy. And I think that's...
We got one from YouTube as well.
Yeah, do that one. I think that one was a little more in-depth.
So this is more about, like, how the story can go forward. So basically anyone influenced by the egg can be, like, an undefined villain, like a mystery, a surprise. And, like, pretty much everyone... And, like, this is what the answer is saying. Basically, everyone on server has some sort of, like, trauma or issue that the egg could potentially exploit to control them.
Yeah, that's
so now that the egg has hatched and is now presumably, like, a lot more powerful and spreading, that means that everyone is vulnerable. Anyone could fall under the egg's control at any point. Anyone could be an enemy.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, I'm just really hoping that... I mean, I want the egg to hatch, but I also think that the egg, as a villain, I really like the fact that it's not necessarily played by one person in the past, because I think that made it a lot more interesting. However, with the way that the server works, I think that that didn't let it get the amount of power it should have had reasonably for, like, what it was, which is, like, an Eldritch Abomination. But I really kind of want, like, a new spokesperson or, like, an actual CC who plays the egg full time, or like an offsprout of the egg. This is really me just saying I want Red Velvet to join the server and be the egg, and be like whatever hatches out of the egg and walk around the server and be like just a menace. Give him god powers, let him run around the server.
I mean, he has played like a pretty good villain, just like in what we've seen them do so far.
Yeah, his voiceover for the egg was really good. I feel like he would do a great job.
Honestly, I think it'd be really fun just to have a villain that is just like...
I just want an evil guy.
Completely evil.
I just want an evil guy.
Because like everyone else is morally grey, it would be kind of fun, and I've kind of mentioned this when discussing the egg before, it would be kind of fun just to have a character that's just like, no, I just want to murder everyone. Like, that's his motivation. He just thinks it'll be fun to murder everyone.
Yeah.
And, like, specifically, like, to trick them all into murdering each other.
We need a new villain that can just be evil and chaotic, alright? Dream, we already know that he's been planning way too much stuff. So, like, it can't be him because there's enough to his character that we're like, okay, so he's not just evil for the sake of evil. We need that character who's just there to be problematic and cause crime. Okay, we need a new Schlatt, right? A character who's there.
I mean, Schlatt is the character that actually has some pathetic.
He does, but we need, like, that kind of character where, like, he's just there in the spotlight to cause chaos and cause problems and be evil. And then afterwards, when you look back at him, you're like, Yeah, no, there are some things going on there that we could feel bad about. We need that. We need that person. We need one of those again. My ideal situation is Velvet is the egg. He hatches out of the egg. he's an evil little bastard, and then through the power of, you know, he's taking over the server, and he's going around, and he makes, like, Aunt Frost his servant or something, so he works for him, and then the two of them bond, and Velvet learns what it is to be, and, you know, Velvet Egg learns how to be a person, and they fall in love, and then the server... My ideal solution to the whole egg arc. Also, I think it'll make Eri really happy, and I like problematic relationships, and I think that would be a perfect one.
Alright, so what should we do for this week's question?
I
propose, does anyone know where the music for that scene of the egg taking over the S&P is?
Oh yeah, that was a banger.
I really like that music.
There was such good music. In that stream.
So if anyone knows where that's from, like, stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
please.
We want that. I'm sure BBH has probably put it in the credits or something somewhere, maybe. But I want that knowledge. Please provide that knowledge. And yeah, I think that's gonna be it. Bye, guys.
And no, I think we should probably do an actual question.
Oh, well, okay, yes. Where do you think Boomer went? We didn't talk about this.
Yeah, so I was going to say that too. Where do you think that portal went? Because people have said that it looks like an end portal, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go
right,
to the
we
end.
We didn't even talk about this at all. At the end of the Sam lore, Boomer... A portal opened up by the frog statue, and Boomer went through it to try and learn about his parents, and all we got was a white screen with two frogs croaking, and then the stream ended. Which I think is very funny that the frog gets to go through a version of an end portal. But not the actual Enderman, right? That's not allowed. just the frog boy. But yeah, no, where do you think the portal went to? Yeah, that's a good question. I think so. I like that question. Alright.
Alright, bye. Well, thanks for listening to the 68th episode of Malhi, and we hope you enjoyed it. If there's any topic you'd like to hear us discuss, feel free to leave a comment or find us on Twitter at Malhi Podcast, where you can also ask us questions or just get updates about new episodes. We also have a Discord server that you can find a link to in the description. See you next time!